So, exactly what was the problem? I don't have to imagine. Scripture tells me. Now, look at verse 3. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, the wording is a little different, he was compelled to be circumcised. What does this mean? When Paul goes with Barnabas and Titus to Jerusalem, this is the first people they meet. The people that had come from Judea to Antioch, he comes to Jerusalem, and this is the first thing that they say. You have a Greek with you. He must be circumcised. Now, I remember years ago as a young people at this conference being reminded of a man that we studied a few years ago by the name of Daniel and the companions that were Daniel. Do you know what Daniel had? Daniel had backbone. He had the word of God. His companions had the word of God, and it didn't matter what others said. They stood on divine principles. The way today, I come from a family where there's a few airplanes, and when the airplane's getting ready to take off, you look up and you see a windsock, and you're able to tell which way the wind is blowing. And there's a lot of Christians that are kind of in this mode. They look and see which way the wind is blowing, or they do like this and they feel and they know, they think the position that they should have. No. We come back to the position that God gives us in the Word of God, and we are steadfast. We stand fast. We hold fast. Why do we do those things? Because there's an enemy that wants to take away from us the ground that Christ has given to us. You and I, brothers and sisters, called to be all three of those things. Write them down. Steadfast in my beliefs for Christ. Stand fast for the principles that the Lord has given to us. And when the enemy comes like this to take them away, to hold fast what has been given to us. Now, you may want to know a little bit about these people. And so instead of John or Tony or myself or Emil or other brethren kind of suggesting to you what was the character of these people, God says, I want to take the mystery out of it. I want to tell you. I want to tell you because in verse 4 of false brethren. And somebody once asked at a conference here, well, how did they get there? How did these false brethren get there? Same way they get in the meeting you come from. They come in, they have a Bible, they say the right things, they dress right, they speak right, they seem to know the Word of God, and their hearts are not right. And sometimes we make mistakes. Here they were. They came in privily or privately. You say, well, why did they come? Scripture answers your question. I don't have to go and give a subjective answer as to why they came. This is what God tells me. They came in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus. Remember what we said the first day? We've been set free. Bondage is no longer with you and I. We've been set free. What do these people want to do? I don't have to guess again. God tells me. That they might bring us into bondage. There I have it in a nutshell. This is where they came from. This is why they were there. This is what they were going to do. This is what was going on in their heart. Now, the great question is, how did Paul meet it? Did he say, well, we must be kind to these people and we must just allow them to have their say? Thinking again of what Emil said, well, there's a meeting in Bluefield and they have these principles. There's a meeting in Niagara and they have these principles. Nova Scotia has their principles. And Paul says, absolutely not. We all have the same principles based upon the same Word of God. Hold your Bible up. This is our standard. There's no other. This is the standard. And so Paul says, to whom we gave place by subjection? No, not for an hour. He met them. We often say in talking of difficulties, the best way around a difficulty is through it. Meet that difficulty head on with the Word of God, and God will support you. This is what we're going to find out happened here. No, not for an hour. He says that, and here's that expression, that the truth of the gospel. Remember, that's what saved me. That's what set me at liberty. That's what made me free. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. The enemy wants to rob us of that. But these were very important people. I mean, this one guy had a PhD in something, and the other guy had this other behind his name, and they dressed very nicely, and they could speak in Greek and Latin and Hebrew, and they had, you all know Emil. I mean, you know this is true of him, and so he was really a person.
I even knew French yesterday.
Okay. So, but these who seemed to be somewhat, what does he say? Whatever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepts no man's person. Am I willing as a young person, as a young brother, as a young sister, to walk today in fellowship with other believers according to this principle? God accepts no man's person. They that seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. And so he says when he begins to speak to them about what God was doing, that's what they needed to hear.
All right, young people, you have a few minutes here if you have a comment or question, because we're going to move. So anything that is just not clear yet, or if you want to have a comment, please go ahead. Or if not, that's okay too. Don't feel obligated that you need to say anything. I'm not putting pressure on you. I heard you in the devotion yesterday. But if you have a comment or something, you just got it or things are not clear.
I just had one verse I wanted to read. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4 and 5, actually. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope. One hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And we just see that again, where like no matter where you're breaking bread, or where we go to meeting, you know, we're all one body. So we can't believe different things. And, that can be a hard concept to understand, but when I'm breaking bread in Niagara, I'm still in fellowship and remembering the Lord in the same way as those in Nova Scotia or Bluefield. It's all one big family.
So I want to give the microphone to Thomas.
Brother Chuck, when you started, you said something about steadfast, stand fast, hold fast, told us to write it down, but I didn't catch it. Could you repeat that?
Therefore be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Okay, that's the first one. The second one's going to be in this book later in chapter 5. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So we have steadfast, we have stand fast, and then we have hold fast the traditions. I think this is Timothy. Somebody help me with a reference on that. Hold fast the traditions. If I'm going to hold fast to something, I have to recognize that somebody's trying to take it away from me. Okay? That's the whole thought of holding fast to it. Somebody is trying to take it away from me. And I would just add one little thought again. That the word has been committed to you and I one time. This is what Jude tell us. I'm not to be contentious. I am to contend earnestly for the faith once delivered unto the saints. That doesn't make me stubborn. It doesn't make me disagreeable. It makes me obedient to what God has given. Someone said it in prayer this morning. I hold tenaciously to the principles that God has given to us. And this is what we're seeing practiced by Paul. And we're going to go on in this chapter, and we're going to see that others said, we hold those same principles. And then we watch them. We see their actions. And we realize, wait a minute, we always used to say in our area, the tongue and the mouth or some such thing, they don't match. You see, there's something not mixing. And we'll see that later in this chapter as Peter steps back in a very common meal. He sets aside the very principle of one body, one spirit, one hope of your calling, just by saying, you know, he's a Gentile. I'm not going to be with you. You go ahead and eat over in that corner there, and I'll catch you after the meeting. This is what was going on here. You see, they were not walking according to the truth of the gospel. We're called always to do that, aren't we? That my life matches the message that has saved me.